Heavenly Father, glory be to God. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify your name, Lord, because of what you're doing in our lives. Father, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to surrender everything to you and come running after you with all our hearts, Lord, because we know you have some great promises for us. And we praise you, we bless you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to lay down our lives for you, Lord, as you laid yours down for us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to be led by your Spirit to speak as an oracle of you, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, let us speak nothing but blessings out of our mouth tonight, that nothing out of our mouth would be detrimental to our walk with you. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful brothers and sisters that are here tonight. We thank you, Father, for an open heaven that we have, that we can pray in and absolutely believe that our prayers are answered. And we praise you and we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. Thank you, Lord, for being in us all that we can be in you, or you in us, something like that. Thank you, Father, glory be to God. And we thank you, Father, that when we look in that mirror, we don't see nothing but Jesus going out the door. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your glory and your rain coming down upon us and filling us with your Holy Spirit. Ooh, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this great, wonderful fellowship that we have here with us tonight. We thank you for it, Father, all over the world, north, south, east, and west. And we praise you, Father, for blessing all of us because you place faith in us. You place bold and great faith in us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you have anointed us to bring the kingdom of heaven down here on earth. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And that entails a lot. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Amen and amen. Has anybody got a prayer request tonight? Yes, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray, if I may. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for putting these wonderful things in front of us that teaches and stirs up our spirit to want more of you. And I believe, Lord, that you have taught us the more we get in the word, the more hunger we'll have. And I thank you for it, Father. I believe that. I've seen it happen. And I praise you, Father, that you have placed in us to walk this thing out as an oracle of you, walking this thing out, walking the word of God out until we become the disciple that you really want in these last times. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one here in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Lord, that you're seeing a bunch of frontline warriors ready to touch the scepter and to receive the goodness and the wholeness and the healing and all of the things that you have, all the gifts being operation in us as we walk further and further in you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name, because I know it's going to be done. It's being done even as we speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all my brothers and sisters. And even those that are listening that aren't even here but are listening will be listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? I'll show you something here. I want to read a little bit of something here. It'll encourage you. Smith Wigglesworth said once, he said, God is more eager to answer than we are to ask. Think about that. That's real, real deep. And he says, goes on and says that God doesn't want you burdened down with fear or worry. He wants you free so that you can spend time with him doing more than begging for stuff. He wants you to live by blessing, not by miracles. He wants you to know him so that you will be ready to deliver a miracle from him to anyone that needs one. He doesn't want you to need one. He wants you to be a miracle for someone, just as Jesus was. The miracles that brought healing and deliverance to anyone that needed it or asked him for it. Well, Father, that's my prayer for myself and all my brothers and sisters here, glory to God, that we don't need a miracle. We already are a miracle. And I praise you, Father, that we bring the kingdom of heaven down on earth by meeting the needs of the people out there in the days ahead. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God, because you placed that love that Jesus had in his heart called compassion for all of those in need out there. And we thank you, Father, that it is absolutely going to be evident in the near future, in the near days to come. Amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Everywhere we go, we're going to be a blessing to people, because we're that light that shines like a neon sign up with a 100,000-watt bulb in it, in Jesus' name. And people are going to come flocking because they know the kingdom of heaven has come down where we walk because of the love of you, Lord. And the compassion that you had, you gave yourself up for us. And now we need to give ourselves up for you. And I thank you, Father, that the things that we do down here is nothing compared to the glory that we're going to receive in heaven where you are. That's our one goal, is to be with you and to have you pleased with our walk down here. In Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence among all of these people. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's getting thick in here, y'all. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm liable to just float plumb out of here. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you so much. And I thank you, Father, for placing that love in my heart for my brothers and sisters here. Glory to God. All right, anybody else want to pray? I need some help. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody got a testimony? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Claire. Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you so much, Claire. You know.
I don't know. Maybe I will know still.
You will.
But I wanted to share a testimony. It's like many, many testimonies, but I'll just give the brief thing. Rian and I have been the victim of faction for 3 months. And because the fellowship is, we used to have a fellowship at our house, the Lord has stopped that now for a season, and that's good. And I praise him for it, because it doesn't stop us as a family from fellowshipping, right? Like, we still continue doing all our daily disciplines with the Lord with joy. We had two couples, and one couple left for natural, normal reasons that people leave, like new jobs and things like that. And the other couple decided to leave because of, just truth issues and obedience to God's word. And because Rian obviously shares things, I was praying so much for him that he wouldn't be hurt by this faction that I forgot, sounds so silly, but I really forgot to pray for myself. And over the past 3 months, my dreams have been getting more erratic and more sort of accusatory to brethren that I don't have anything against in the natural. And a few of the dreams were so off the wall that I knew immediately these are not things worth sending on. But some of them were so subtle that I sent them on, and you know, a lot of the dreams were warning me about the faction that was coming our way, which is great. God is so gracious with us. And But things were happening in our home. Now, nothing to destroy the sanctity of our marriage or the fabric of our family. But there were things that were happening specifically with my son that are not health issues, but behavioral issues that we could not pinpoint where the sin comes from. Like, we took it all the way back to our families and, you know, on and on and on, and trying to think, well, who has displayed behavior like this in the past? I'm talking pure evil stuff that you would, if you were worldly, you'd probably take your kid to some kind of therapist because it wouldn't make any sense. And my son has only grown up in a home that values and worships the Lord. So we realized then it was faction when he started coming against it. And it took probably all summer. And the poor little guy spent more time in timeout than having a summer. But that was good in itself because he got to really think about his own behavior. So I think he was being used, or the faction was being used to refine us, but also to refine his little heart. But at certain points, I just knew this couldn't be from the flesh. And we started coming against it. And within a week of coming against this, I'll use the term religiously, but you know what I mean, like just relentlessly. My son's behavior is just beautiful and blossoming. And when we realized it was part of this disgusting wicked attack, it was easy to separate that from him and, you know, parent consistently in love. And it's been really a great trial and a great reward. As for me, I had a little bit of rejection in my heart towards a few individuals, and it wasn't any rejection. Let me say that feeling and those emotions were not, it wasn't like a conscious thing, and it also wasn't directed at the factious. It was stuff from long ago. And I realized during this trial that David has spoken so much about faction, and he has spoken so much about rejection and fear and these things. And I've always listened intently, and I've really tried to make sense of what he's saying, because you don't know what faction is until it hits you. Like, that's just the truth of the matter. And I realized that even though I had soft hearts towards the factious, and I was praying for them, and I really am still praying for repentance to come on them, the good grace of God to, you know, use them as vessels of honor instead of vessels of dishonor. But because I had these other little roots in my life, the faction could get a hold of me. And that was a very scary thing to realize. And it was quick in that when I realized what it was, I could repent and I could confess. And within hours, everything changed. Like, it just changed. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful that the Lord puts us in these training programs and he gives us these trials, because if he didn't, then we would never grow. And I will say that I failed in a few things. Like, I couldn't police all my thoughts, and I even spilled them out to Rian. And, you know, I've repented to Rian, and I've said, you know, I'm sorry for mouthing off in front of you. And because I don't want him to falter because of my bad behavior or my lack of wisdom or self-control. And my husband has got such a sweetheart and such a patient demeanor with me. And if he does, I know that the Lord is infinitely more gracious than that. And it's been a really humbling experience. I don't wish it on anyone, I will say that. I also don't know if the trial is finished. I received a beautiful confirmation dream last night of me now overcoming, knowing what it is. And I'd ask you all to pray with me and for me and my family, because in the dream there was a very big warning to get out. And we don't like, what does that mean? Get out of what? Like, we live here. So if you would all pray for wisdom for us, we know where we're ultimately going. We kind of understand the timeline. The Lord is, he's so good to us and he's given us so many dreams, but there are other things at play in the medium term. So I would like to pray. And then if anyone is led to pray more, either on here or just on your own for us, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every trial, and thank you for cultivating joy in my heart for every trial. Thank you for giving us the grace to stand. Thank you for letting us falter at times, Lord, so we know it has to be in you alone and not in our own strength. Thank you for knitting us together. And thank you for giving us the grace. And thank you for conforming us more and more to your image. Thank you for the mind of Christ. And thank you for the heart of Christ. And thank you for a soft heart that is filled with forgiveness and love and grace for the brethren and for the heathen. And Father, I thank you for every dream, every single one. Thank you for warnings. Thank you for admonishments. Thank you for trials and tests. Thank you for encouragements. Father, I pray that you would make it plain to Rian and I what that dream specifically means. I will seek you, Lord, and I pray that you would reveal it in due time. But I also rebuke any factious spirits from trying to create fear or anxiety or trying to make God's anointed flee when it's not their time. We stand on the word, we stand on the promises, and we know where we are supposed to be in Christ, and we're supposed to be physically, because we are led of the Spirit, and those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. So I rebuke any factious attempts to sow discord, anxiety, fear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our armor. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Claire's confession, and we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in the whole family, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have cleansed her of all unrighteousness. She is sanctified just like she was before. We praise you, Father, even more so, because she's got the experience now, Father. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that she is walking a crucified walk, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to fill her completely, Lord, to the top. Ooh, God, I'm a little little kid. I'm a son of a hundred of a seat. And we thank you, Father, that her walk from this point on will be nothing but you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for a great blessing upon this household. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Go ahead, Geneva.
I just want to say, too, thank you, Claire, for sharing that. That actually blessed me a lot with some things I'm going through right now. And just, it's a good reminder with little ones, no matter the age, to know that if they're not acting accordingly, you know, to make sure we cast that out, any spirits, and just, you know, continue to believe and know that that they have the mind of Christ. So encouraged by that. Thank you, Father. But praise to the Lord that, Morgan got that other job. So
praise
thank
God.
You, Jesus. Praise yeah. Jesus. It's been, we've been kind of, he's been, you know, like trying to figure out start date and this and that and, you know, one thing after another. But anyways, they offered it to him on the spot. They had him like do a test and read some prints and some things, and Morgan knew everything like perfectly. Because I guess the boss told him, he goes, I've never hired anybody on the spot, but I'm just going to go on and hire you. So, praise the Lord that, you know, that happened so well. So with that being said, we'll be moving back to Kentucky shortly. We're going to be staying with his brother for a little bit until, you know, the Lord shows us, where to rent next or whatever he wants us to do there. But we'll still have our place here in Florida until the lease is up. So, anyways, it'll be moving fast, but I am thankful because now we'll be pretty close to UBM. I mean, we'll only be like 3.5-4 hours away. So praise the Lord for that. I'll be able to come visit and visit Isaac and Marissa, and it'll be a good time. Amen. So yes, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be close to family and friends and all my loved ones. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you will. Yeah, and there'll be no excuse for you and your husband not to come down and visit.
Anyway, I'll bring my squirrel stew, Michael.
There you go, girl. Squirrel head stew in the pot. Thank you, Father. That's awesome. Anita. All right, anyone else? I did want to do this. I bless the Pinyon household right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for peace in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Got a prayer request, a testimony, a praise report, or a song? Go ahead, Andrew. Sing out, brother.
Well, I got a prayer request.
Okay.
Ben phoned me earlier. He phoned me about his laptop. He knocked it, and I don't know if it fell on the ground or whatever. And we're asking for prayer that this laptop work, because he wants to come on. He wants to join the fellowship. So, Father God, we already prayed about this, but I'm going to ask again. Father God, that you would consider my son for fellowship today, and that you would repair this and this laptop of his, whatever happened to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray that he would come on, and this is already done in Jesus' name. It is finished, and whatever we pray and ask for believing, we shall have it. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. We send those angels out to fix that computer now. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. It is done. And he'll be able to be on. He'll be on here in the next 10 minutes in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I declare and decree it. And I thank you, Lord, it is done in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? You believe that God can fix that? I do. I've seen it happen too many times. Lord of God. Who is this got his hand up? I don't know that guy. I haven't seen him in, gosh, I don't know. Hey, Nick, is that you, brother?
Yes.
Okay. Glory to God. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I heard on the news this week that there was a shooting at MSU where my cousin went to school. And there was 4 people died and 5 other injured.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we're just thinking that the 5 that are injured are okay. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree it, that those 5 are okay. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your peace. And we thank you, Father, for catching whoever did this. Did they catch him, Dick?
No, he actually shot himself, too.
Okay. All right, Father. We thank you for putting peace in the family's hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for people in that area to start praying for these students in these colleges, in these schools that have left the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Go ahead, Matt.
I just wanted to pray about something real quick. Mom is stuck in Georgia right now. So I just pray that she makes the next flight and I don't have to drive down there. So Lord, we thank you that she's going to make her next flight and she'll be here tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It is done. Send the angels out there to make a way where there was no way. Somebody will do a song for that, something like that. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, she'll be here tonight. Get ready. That is a good one. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Hey, Missy. Hey, Pat. Josie. Call in user, Malcolm. Go ahead, Theo.
I have a prayer request. I saw a position roll across the boards at this company, and I'm going to apply for it. Lord willing, it'll be mine, and that they're not going to be upset that I've only been in this position for, you know, 3 months. It's not a very long time. But it's going to be only 25% travel, so most of the time we'll be home. And the Lord knows that's what I want, and I believe that's what He wants. So I just want to thank you, Father, that this job is going to be mine, and it's going to be a quick and easy transition into it, and that the whole team is going to be blessed by it, and that I'll have the green light from everybody that's involved. And I thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for getting that position for Fia. We've already prayed this before. We thank you, Father, that it is done. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for doing this for Theo and Lana and the boys. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God, Lord of God. No more traveling. Very minimal amount of traveling in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God, you're awesome, Lord. We praise you for it, too. Everybody praise God for Theo's new position he's got. Lord, we thank you. It is done. Lord of God, Lord of God. And we praise you for it, Father, because we know that you love us and you're going to get us what we need to do the things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, you don't need him on the road all the time. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Okay, Nick, I'm sorry. I thought you was through, son.
Yeah, my neighbor, he works for a company called Sharper Image, and he messaged his boss and asked him if he had an opening, and he asked my sister for her resume, and she sent it over, and now he's going to have an interview with her on Thursday.
So you want her to get a position, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, we just declare and decree that she has that position in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you've already made this transition for her in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that for Nick's sister? Amen. It is done. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, Nick. Anything else, bro? Okay. Good to see you. All right, Isaac. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, all right. I wasn't gonna say anything, but I just felt like, you know, maybe I should, the things that happened to me, I should boast on the Lord, because it's really, it's always him that does it. And it's, Matthew just spoke about, his mom being in Georgia. Is that right? Did I understand that correctly? Okay. So I say this as encouragement, and then I'm just going to say a prayer and believe. But, one time I was traveling up to, from Sarasota to Newark, New Jersey, and our flight was an hour late in, Sarasota. And I scheduled I'm kind of rusty now. I haven't been traveling, but you know how you have, a layover or whatever, right? You wait till you get to the next flight to go somewhere, because I had a connecting flight. So anyways, it was only like a one hour layover. So by the time I got there, they try to make up time. By the time I got there, I had like 15 minutes to get there. I know that doesn't make sense, but I'm going off best of my memory. Anyways, the funny thing is that it was a few terminals over. It was, you know, Newark, New Jersey is a really big airport, man. Huge. Anyways, so I was running and I was running and running trying to find my airport, but I was terminals over and I had to take like a train to get there. Well, I called Mariana and the boys and I had them pray for me, and they prayed for me. Well, the thing is, I just didn't make it in time, actually, but here it sounds terrible, but this is really good. So I ran over to find any attendant, just any attendant. And I found some attendant. And I said, hey, man, I said, where can I find this? He goes, this term was over. It's going to take you at least 15 minutes to even get there. Well, at this point, you know, I had 5 minutes left to go. I was like, man. And so I figured I probably wouldn't get there till late at night. And I have to be with a client that day, right? So it's pretty tough. And so I got a little frustrated and I repented, but I just said, you know, I just believe with my wife and kids prayed with me. And I went up to another attendant and I said, how do I get here? At this point, it was like, I mean, I think I was already, is already boarded. They're actually about to leave, like take off. Right. And I said, I just need to know where to go because I don't even know what terminal I'll be in. I've already missed a flight. And I showed him, he goes, well, what's your flight number? And I showed it to him. He goes, yeah, your terminal's over, man. He goes, it's your multiple terminals over. You got to go here and follow this path. I was like, oh, okay. And as I walked away, he stopped me. He said, what would you say your flight number was again? And I read it to him. And I was looking at my email on my phone because with the company I worked for, they would have to get these emails, right? And they would kind of populate my layovers, what flight I was supposed to connect it on, kind of give me like little updates. Hey, you need to be here. Anyways, he goes, man, your flight don't leave till 4 hours. But when he said that, I looked at my phone and he was wrong. My flight already departed. He was completely wrong. And I said, no, it says right here. And he goes, no, it doesn't. And my phone went bloop and just changed. Everything changed in front of my eyes. I said, wait, what just happened? That literally happened to me. And it, just like that, with the sound effect, bloop, right? It was amazing. And so guys, I gotta be honest, I cried. I just started getting tears of joy. Just so joyful. And the guy turned around to me and they looked at me and they thought this poor kid don't have a clue because they probably didn't see what I was seeing. And, you know, it's kind of like the thunder out of the sky, right? Where others heard it thunder and then some heard it was God. And he looked at me. He goes, why don't you go get you something to eat and take your time, man? And I said, sir, I will. And I really appreciate it. And man, I just praised and I cried and I called the family and I thanked God and I still got there on time. Explain it. I can't. It's just God. Anyways, I'm going to say a little prayer. Dear Lord, let it be an awesome testimony for Matthew and his family. He don't have to go to pick them up. I can't wait to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's an awesome testimony. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. And Matt's going to have one next time we get together. Amen. I'll be in the morning. All right, anyone else? I heard a prophecy from Bob Jones, somebody may remember him, that he said that the next time, this is years ago, the next time that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that shortly thereafter the revival will start, the end time revival will start. Now, how many of you know that there's a revival going on at Ashbury College and down at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee? That's the Church of God down there. Went down there from Ashbury, and some more colleges, they said, that were opening up to revival in their colleges. The kids are getting a hold of God. Lord, my prayer is that you rain your Holy Spirit down. Lord, that it would fill these Methodists and Church of God people up. And whoever else is involved in it, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for taking that throughout the universities and colleges of America and the world. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for doing that. Filling them up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, these people don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for doing that for these young men and women because they are hungry. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. Lord of God, Lord of God. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that if I could. Father, we also ask that you would pour out your word and a desire and an awareness in the revival that you're sending, not only of the Holy Spirit, but of the significance, absolute significance of putting your word first before all else. We thank you for that word that you have embedded in the hearts of those that are listening to you. We thank you for the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit being poured out into their hearts, and we trust you to do that, Lord. We just ask you to strengthen the power of your word in them, Lord. Strengthen your word and let it reign supreme in their hearts and in our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the revival and the cleansing that is coming and the new life that is spreading from coast to coast. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, let it be so. And I believe it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. My. Let it spread all over the world. As I know what's going to this end time revival. Yes, Missy.
I'm coming in late. So I don't know if you've already prayed about this. I know it was brought up this morning. Did you pray about that derailment and all the chemicals and everything that happened with that?
No.
Okay. Well, this derailment that's about 50 miles from here, just over the border into Ohio, there's nefarious stuff going on with that. They basically, by blowing that up, they released all kinds of toxic chemicals that's getting in the water, killing fish, killing animals. And there are a couple different news pieces I watched on conservative. I watched, Mike Adams from, Health Ranger, Natural News, some pieces of it from Stu Peters. But anyway, it's not good. And so, Father, I just I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're gonna, you know, everything is for the purpose of salvation, bringing revival, harvest, and all. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use this, Lord, and protect your elect, even if they're not saved yet. You know who's yours. Protect your elect from this, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that our air here is clear and purified in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that everything is purified for your elect concerning this. Specifically, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for watching over. This is kind of like a pestilence thing in a sense, because it's in the air and it's in the water, getting in the water. And I thank you, Lord, for your Psalm 91 protection over your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. They had another train derailment down in Houston, I heard. And there was another one. I forget where it was.
South Carolina near Spartansburg.
Oh, okay.
There's different ones. I heard somebody, they didn't say where all it was, but they said that they're all over the country. They're having derailments.
Sounds like a planned event, doesn't it?
I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know if it's just that it's getting more attention, you know?
No.
more attention now because of the one here. You know what I mean? That, you know, some, no. You know, and the thing of it is this is Norfolk Southern that just happened to up here, not far from me. And like I said, it's like 50 miles from me. But, you know, yesterday it was pretty clear out. You know, the sky was nice, pretty clear for a good part of the day. And, but Norfolk Southern is the company that Merle retired from. And I said to him the other day, I said, oh boy, I bet you're glad you're not working anymore. He goes, yeah. He says, because I'd be there. They'd have sent me there. Most likely. So there's just a lot of, it's criminal what they've done. So they're saying it's like another Chernobyl. That's how bad the chemicals and everything are.
Yeah, that's far-fetched if that's not a coincidence. Go ahead, Isaac. I wouldn't do.
Yeah. So I didn't know any of that. But y'all heard about the Chinese spy balloon or whatever balloon it was. I kind of don't buy anything the news says, right? It's just, you get it, you know. It's just never know. But anyways, they were calling it a Chinese spy balloon. It's like, I guess everybody, I don't know. Anyways, I asked the Lord I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I don't really remember. But I asked the Lord, we were sitting here. I don't know. We were sitting here, me and Mariana. And I asked the Lord, and I held Mariana's hand. I said, Lord, show us. Give us a dream. What is this concerning? What's really going on? I had a dream. And in that dream was what I seen was, and I don't even know if it's tied to that. I don't know, but there was a farmer and he had all his crops, right? And he was trying to grow his crops. They were green, so it wasn't time harvest yet. But they were all, half of them were trampled down. And where he was standing, the left side was trampled down, the right side was still growing, but they were surrounded by military. Now, this farmer was an American, and he was mad and furious and yelling like, hey, get off my plants and my crop. But the U.S. military surrounded him, and they were pretty much controlling and demolishing his crops. That was my dream. I don't know, but I really think I've been having a lot of dreams here lately of famines and famine in America. I do believe that's going to be global, but, you know, the Lord will provide, but I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, you're exactly right. They're doing that. They're blowing up grain bins, great big processing plants, killing chickens. They're doing everything in the world to try to get us into a food shortage, and they're doing a good job. Go ahead, Missy.
Also about this train derailment and then blowing that up, they're saying it's going to filter down through the Ohio River down into Mississippi River, and that it's going to, the fallout of it is going to ruin crops and make the land unusable for at least one season, probably more.
Well, you're not hearing that mainstream news. It's a nothing burger.
There was a guy that was arrested. He when the governor of Ohio was trying to, they were in some kind of meeting or whatever talking about it, and someone from an obscure news media or whatever, he was asking questions. They didn't like what he was asking, and he was saying, I have a right to be here. You know, this is free speech, blah, blah, blah. They arrested him. They arrested him because they didn't want him asking questions.
Well, of course. What's the governor's name?
I forget.
Made an impression on you, did he?
So.
Amen. Well, that's We already know this stuff is going to take place. How many of you know we don't have to worry about any of this stuff? We don't have to worry a bit about it because we are divinely protected with Psalms 91 and the promises of God.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for multiplying my baloney. You know, that's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. Multiplying my egg, multiplying my food. My manna.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, yes, multiply my manna. Watch out. If that's your manna, Lord, is my manna. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? That's the great thing about the being close to God is the rest and the peace that he puts in our hearts that we don't worry about these natural disasters that happen that we know is going to kill a lot of people. But we also know that it's going to bring a lot of people to Jesus. A lot of the cheese going to bring all D wine. Okay. It's going to bring all of our family and the angels of our God has told us that he's going to bring not to worry about our family. Put them on altar. He said, they're in my hands. Now go and do what I told you to do. Don't worry about it. And so we don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. I said, okay, Lord, that's your job now. My job is to do what you want me to do. And that's the mindset he wants us to have, to be focused entirely upon him and not get distracted. Lord, we thank you for it. All the distractions leave us. And Lord, we thank you for focusing us, spiritually speaking, only upon you. In Jesus' name, we command all distractions out of our way. And boy, there's a bunch of them. And Father, we thank you for making our minds one track mind. And that's Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We had a wonderful meeting last night about this, about A.A. Allen's 11 points. How many of you know that if you watch that video, you know the 11 points is how shall we die? That's the book, is How Shall We Die. You put that book on your in your hand and you read it, you'll do the 11 points that A.A. Allen said he went through. Yes, Andrew.
Actually, I had the, because there's a good video, he's reading the book or the video. David Eales in his little chair there and the plastic flappers in the back.
That ain't a little chair. We got it downstairs. That's not a little chair, Andrew.
Yeah.
I
don't know how big David is anyway. But I was listening to that today, the first part of that book anyway. He's got a really calming voice in that video when he talks about how shall we go too. And it really helps, so.
Yeah, it does. I did the same thing, Andrew.
You know, I listened to the video because you sent it to me, and I read up to page 70 so far, and I was saying, well, this is all the stuff I've been learning for so many years from UVM anyway. So, it's still nice to see that it actually was with someone else, too, in the 1950s, too. Yeah. Praise God. Glory to God.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I watched that. Not watched it. I listened to it on my walk today, and I also read some of it today also. How Shall We Die? Yeah, Missy.
It's nice. I'm almost done reading A.A. Allen's book. It's nice to read that, too. It's more compact, and it's more... I don't know, but he says things a little bit different and it kind of catches you a little different, you know, in a sense that it's like some light bulbs go on because it's really good.
You're talking about the PDF book that A.A. Allen wrote.
Yeah, okay. It's a good accentuation to how it's more compact and concise.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says things a little bit different, you know, in some areas.
Well, it's and from Rock, Arkansas. He makes things a lot easier.
it's kind of like the way he says it, I guess, is in some ways is more hard hitting, more blunt, you know, than what David does. It's kind of sometimes we need it to be more more direct or whatever. I don't know, but it's just I'm really.
I got this recorded, Missy. I just want to let you know.
Uh-huh, I know. you gonna hold it over my head? You can go.
Oh no, I wouldn't do that. You know that.
No, but it's just it's just refreshing to read it because it is a little different, but it's different, but it's the same.
Yeah, it is
a little bit different way of making his points, but. So
I'll tell you what happened to me, Missy. I read the book and I watched the video and I even listened to the book that you can get it on the audio also. And I listened to the book also. And then I went to read How Shall We Die? And it was so much easier. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody, but if you do that and then you go back to the How Shall We Die? It just comes in. It just comes in and locks in. And you understand everything that he's said. You know, instead of just going there and falling asleep like sometimes we do. It all makes sense, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, he is. He's very thorough. And he makes sure he gives you the answer to how shall we die. He gives you the answer in more ways than one. He'll come into it from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And he says he comes to the same conclusion every time. The book. Let me see here. What video are you referring to? The video that was on the outreach chat the other day, yesterday or day before? Day before yesterday, I think. Was it Saturday? Yeah, that one there. That's the one by Joe Sweet, isn't it, Claire? Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you for posting that. Anybody else? Let me ask this question. And you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. How many of you did this put the deep resolve to be at that point that A.A. Allen wanted to be at and actually finally did it? I'm going to raise my hand. I want to be there. I want to see people set free. I want to see them not only set free, coming into the kingdom because of it. And this is the way to do it. If you remember what those angels told Neville Johnson, when the two angels came to see Neville Johnson, they told him that they were from the 1950s healing revival. And that they were so saddened by the carnality, the carnal ways of the preachers during that time, that they didn't want to go back for this next revival. And they told the Lord that if they would excuse him. He said, no. He said, I'm going to do something different this time. He said, this time, the power that I give out is not going to anyone but the sanctified ones. Those are the ones that are going to get this anointing. And he went on further, said this. He said, in the 50s, I assigned one angel to each preacher. He said in this last revival, on Masonic 2, he said the miracles are going to be greater, much greater, much greater than those. He said those that have sanctified their tongue, he said they will just speak, be healed. He won't have to touch them. They won't have to do anything other than be healed. And he might just do this and a whole group be healed. He said, or be delivered and the whole group be delivered. Or meet their needs, whatever it is. All they'll have to do is just speak it out of their mouth. And it will be done, thus saith the Lord. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. For though he said, I will not give this. And he told me the other day while I was in here and I was thinking about all this. He said, those that are serious, this will be a quick work. Those that are serious, this will be a quick work. And I believe Joe Sweet, the guy that was on the video, if you watched the video, you heard him say that he saw, as he was preaching one Sunday, he saw an angel come swooshing in and stood on the stage with him where he was preaching in his church. And it said this angel was about 8 foot tall. And he was preaching and he saw that angel. And he said, Lord, what's this angel doing here? He said, that's the angel that I have given this church to help them in these 11 points to get over and overcome, to be the sanctified ones. That's him right there. And then he had another, he had a prophetic guy. I think his name was Sadju or something like it. Y'all know this guy. You've probably seen him on YouTube. Said he came in here without us even saying anything to him about a few days later, a week later, something like that. And said, we never said anything to him about it. And he was standing there. He said, y'all may not know that, but you've got an 8 foot angel standing right here. And he said, he's here to help you all get sanctified. Woo, man, the place went erupted. You know, I'm sure it did. Lord of God. That was confirmation. Confirmation that Sweet had. If you want to get your spirit stirred up and you hadn't seen that video, watch it about 3 or 4 times. It'll take that much. Well, you can do it 2 times, but I'm telling you, you go 3 or 4 times, you're going to pick up stuff every time you go. Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add or would like to talk about? Yeah, read that little book along with it. Read that little booklet along with it. I'd give you a copy if I could. I gave them all out to the fellowship last night as we went over this. We got another Monday night coming this next Monday. We're going to go over the rest of it. We got to chapter 7 last night. It was good. It stirs your spirit up to want to do what God wants you to do. Think. Here's what I've been thinking about. Think of all the people that are going to come into the kingdom because of your faithfulness. That's what you got to think of. The perils down here ain't nothing to compare to the glory that God's waiting on us. Praise God. I think that's the way it goes. It sounds good to me. Thank you, Lord. What is it, man? You remember that? Oh, I think you told me what the answer was. Romans 8:14. Anyway.
I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to be revealed in us.
Yeah.
I think it's Romans 8 and, Missy knew the address. I think it's 8 and 18, maybe.
8 and 18? Okay. All right. Thank you, Marilyn. You saved me again, girl. Praise God. Yeah, Romans 8 and 18.
Yeah. And I just also, I love that companion verse for the, our light affliction of the moment worketh in us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen. Y'all see that thing in what Judah posted now, Romans 8 and 18? See what it says? The Bible was written by Southerners. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. And if you'll read in there, it says yonder in there too. It had to be written by Southerners. They don't say that up north. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, you Southerners always reckoning stuff, and then you have to be fixing it.
Yeah, because it's over yonder. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Isaac. Arkansas Standard Version. That's the ASV.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my. I got to use that one. All right. Anybody else? Anybody want to talk about what we're talking about tonight? Any more about what we're talking about? What did you see in the film that really caught your attention? You know what caught my attention? I'll tell you what caught my attention. It's when A.A. Allen came out of the closet the last time, got that bowl of stew that Mama made for him, sitting there at the counter, eat one bite, and the Lord spoke to him. The Lord said, do you want this or do you want this more than you want me? He said, that would scare me. And he pushed that bowl aside. He said, I'm going back to the closet and I ain't coming out until I get word from the Lord. She said, you'll be out of there within an hour. He said, nope, I'm going to do it this time. And he did. He said he had a few times that he's trying to hiccup, but he made it through it. Then God showed up, turned the light on, didn't he? Glory to God. That was awesome. That's what made me resolve to go ahead and overcome every one of them. Don't you remember what he said about looking at, if you look at the whole thing, you'll get overwhelmed. But if you look at each one of them, say, man, I can do this. I can do this, and just do them one at a time, get them over with. And as you do, check them all. Say, thank you, Lord, we got that one done. Thank you, Lord, we got that one done. Next thing you know, next week, you'll be sitting up there where he is. Power of God be all over you. You'll go down to Walmart and set Walmart free, glory to God. I'm telling you. How many of you know there's homeless people hang out at Walmart sometime? Unless they run them off. Amen. Only believe. If you believe what the Lord told Alan, he said, this is for everybody. These 11 points. If you believe that, when you get through, then just know I've got the power to go out there and find somebody and bless them. I'm telling you, he'll do it. God's not a liar. I trust him. Y'all trust him? I trust God. I believe what he says. He says, if you sanctify yourself, I'll give you all of this. Double portion. We're going to have two angels doing this for us, and they're going to be mighty angels before the God. Go ahead, Lana.
When I was listening to Joe Sweet talk about these 11 points, the one thing that stuck out to me was how we would give an account for every idle word. And what the Lord brought to my memory is the times that I was unable to speak the good report because I was in the midst of unbelievers, specifically in the midst of family or friends that are not part of the local fellowship and do not believe the way we do. And with what I went through, the trial we had with my family, just this in the last week or two, and the Lord showed me that the deeper you grow in Christ, the less you have to say to the world outside that does not walk with Christ, the less there is to say, really. And I just became very convicted in my spirit about my inability to speak the good report in the midst of people who are worldly and carnal. And it drove home to me what I like to call the golden standard of silence. And that also brought back to my mind how when we do not defend ourselves, because I spend a lot of time defending myself. And as Joe Sweet mentioned, you know, this is where gossip and slander and faction also begins in a lot of cases. When we are busy doing these things, we are more than likely not speaking the good report. And once again, the Lord was just, you know, leading it all back to, that silence that's so golden when our words are few, and that when we do speak, our report lines up with the word of God. So that's what I got from it. And I'm just believing and walking by faith that the Lord's going to grow that particular aspect in me much deeper. And he's going to give me the grace to hold my peace and hold my silence, like I did with my sister when she demanded an explanation for us not partaking in a family event. And for the first time in my life, I was able to just calmly and directly tell her, I have no explanation for you. I can only tell you that we won't be at the family gathering this weekend. And the calmness that the Lord gave me and the peace of mind for standing my ground and not giving in to the demands of family and all that stuff that had held me back in the past was incredible. When you choose to submit to the Lord, he defends you and he gives you the grace to stand your ground. So all glory to God.
Well, that was one of the points that the Lord made in that video, was sanctify your mouth. Sanctify your mouth. And Lord knows that I need to, and he's helping me with it too. All right, Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've been finding that hard to do at work because I'm kind of in a role where I have to, I'm kind of the liaison between the technicians and my boss, who's is boss of all technicians and engineering. So it's like things happen and, you know, where the guys are talking to me and they kind of want me to mention it to the boss, and it's getting tough. Like that's something I'll probably need prayer on is how to only say what needs to be said, because I'm not a bus driver and I don't want to drive these guys. You know, I don't want to, get these guys in trouble, you know, cause I care about them, but sometimes they just don't get along. And, one guy leaves work for another. So it's really tough. Anyways, that's being said. But going back to Joe Sweet, you know, he said something. Well, first off, I'll say this. It was really good to see that be talked about, that type of message. I don't know. I haven't seen that type of message. And I don't mean it's derogatory in the preach from the pulpit in a long time. I mean, ever really, there's not a lot of churches preaching that type of message. They're not preaching, you know, the mystery hidden for all ages, which is Christ in you. They're not preaching that, man. And so when we watched it, and we've watched it multiple times, we're going to continue to do it because, man, I looked at him. I looked at Mary and I said, honey, this guy's very accurate. I feel like this is everything David and them's been preaching. And I haven't heard too many people come in agreement with the word, because that's what it's about. But he said something toward the end about, you know, seeking God and seeking after God and having the wrong mentality. And when he said that, he went on to explain, I was like, you know, I've done that. And it was like, you know, come now, you know, do this in me and, you know, make me, you know, man of God, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm waiting on you. Where are you at? He was going on. Of course, he illustrated it a lot better, but he said, the right mindset is this: Lord, what do I need to do to come in agreement with you? I wrote that down on my phone. And that's something I've been praying every day since, multiple times throughout the day. Lord, what do I need to do to come in agreement with you? And I think, yeah, and I think speaking the same as is a big way to do that. Because I actually had a dream just recently, just this week actually, where I was, I spoke, not even meaning to, something over myself, and it was a curse. And I stopped myself and I said, no, I said, I cast that down and that's dead in Jesus' name. And I'm alive in Jesus' name. And then Mariana ran over and she goes, it's true. And you're the head of the house and you can cast down the curse. You can make these, you know, cause head of the house, we can break these contracts as far as like word curses and stuff over us. Cause if you speak it, then you're going to be in a contract with it. And if you break it, what's your right to? Because we can be in agreement with the word. So I don't know. I've just been thinking about that. And Lord, what can I do to come into agreement with you? Well, show me. And he has been. And that's a prayer. And so, guys, I say that and also pray for me. I want to be careful in how I do this job because, man, there's a lot of backbiting. And I forgot because I've been working by myself for a few years now, traveling. And, you know, it's one employee against the next. And then I'm the one that's got to kind of explain it and what's going on. Isaac, can you give me more information? And I mean, from my supervisor level, come and talk to me about it. And I just get tired of it, man. I just want to do my job. Anyways, thank you guys.
Amen. We're all learning. Praise God. But we'll all come to that level. Those who are serious, they'll all come to that same level. Thank you, Jesus. And then when we get in heaven, guess what? We're all going to have a party with Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us. All right. Anybody else like to tell me what your the biggest point? What convinced you that you needed to go with what he was talking about? Yes, Julie.
Not so much just what you just asked, but something that was coming to me and what I was, you know, seeking the Lord about things like my own sanctification and, you know, and that. In that video and in the book, you know, there were actually 13 things, but two of them were personal that the Lord revealed to him, to A.A. Allen, that he needed to deal with. And Lord, you know, I was just seeking the Lord, you know, about, you know, we're all supposed to be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And it kind of was thinking about the book, Blessings, you know, Sanctification Before Blessings. And we have it all by faith because everything that we do is going to be in faith because we can't do any of these things ourselves except use the promises and believe by faith for God to do it. But the Lord was just showing me that, you know, you just keep seeking me. You keep obeying everything you know to do and keep running the race. You keep abiding in me. You keep, you know, focus. And he's the one, he's going to want, you know, he told me, he's like, I'm going to help you every day. I am going to help you, you know, I'm going to do this every day. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is going to help us every day with whatever sanctification we need and whatever faith we need and discernment, whatever it is that you feel like, you know, you need to ask the Lord for help in this, you know, it's, overcoming in the trials is a day-to-day progress, you know. But he sees the end in view. You know, if you guys remember that book, the teaching on perfection in Christ Jesus, we already are perfect. We all, he has perfected us forever by his one offering.
Yeah.
And we have to see that in the mirror, like when Michael said that every time we look in the mirror, that's, you know, we see Jesus. That's not the old Julie. That's not the old, you know, Michael. That's not the old Claire, Missy, whomever. You don't live anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's how you have to speak to the enemy, you know, whether it be the flesh or something coming on you. It's like, no, I don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. You know, pick up your sword. It's a fight. It's a battle every day, and it's all going to be faith. That was something that the Lord was just reiterating to me. It's like everything we receive is by faith. Everything. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I also took a look at Sanctification Before Blessing also. That's a good book to teach us that also. But How Shall We Die? Both of those books are real good. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'm going to rattle myself and ask if anybody else, if anybody else wants to agree with me. Well, I asked, you know, there was one major thing that I think the thing that I got convicted on the most from A.A. Allen's book was about when he talked about Jesus praying and fasting and going off by himself, but, you know, or in the middle of the night, you know, and, you know, praying, you know, like getting up early and stuff like that. And so I'm like the sleep thing, I was really convicted about. And so I asked the Lord, I said, you know, wake me up, you know, when you want me to get up, you know, if you want me to get up in the middle of the night and pray or whatever, or get up earlier than normal or whatever. Well, I laugh, but it's not funny. It is, but it isn't. Well, the first night, I think after I prayed this, I heard my phone notification go off. At least I thought it did. And I heard it another time and maybe three times, you know, and it dawned on me, you know, like, I'm not sure if it was right then or later or whatever. Because I looked at my phone to see what time it was or see if somebody, if I had a notification text or something or whatever to see what was going off, and it wasn't. And then, and then especially when I got up in the morning, then I thought about it and I was like, Lord, was that you trying to wake me up? And then, there's something else there about, I thought there was something else instance, it left me, but anyway, and then I guess maybe it was this morning, I woke up or whatever, and the thought came to me, you know, and I didn't get up, you know, and I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. But, you know, the Lord pointed out to me here lately, and it started before reading this book, and the Lord made me aware of, you know, there for quite a while, I get up in the morning or even in the middle of the night, I'd turn over or whatever. My lower back was really like sore. My muscles like felt sore. I'd get up in the morning, I'd be like so stiff and so sore. But I haven't been like that lately. And the Lord pointed out to me that I have been reading more in the word than what I had been. And, you know, it says that the Spirit of God gives life to our mortal bodies, where the word is spirit, you know, and he pointed that out to me, you know. And so, and so it's just now just getting past my flesh, you know, because when you wake up and you're like, and you got this soreness on you, you don't want to get up, you know. But it's like the Lord's saying now, Missy, I'm taking care of you. And that's gone. You don't have all that. Now just, Lord, give me the grace. And I'm going to pray for anyone else that may struggle in this area about getting up early or getting up when the Lord makes your phone notification go off and it couldn't have been anybody but him. At least if it wasn't my phone, it was the Lord giving me a notification. It sounded like my phone. Anyway, so Father, I just I thank you for your mercy and grace, and I thank you for your forgiveness for me not getting up. And Lord, I ask you to give me and everyone else the grace that struggles in this area, like in their sleep. We thank you, Lord, that we put the death of deeds of the body, by the Spirit, we put the death of deeds of the body. And we have the grace and the anointing to overcome our flesh and get up and pray, Lord, and not just as an obligation as a duty or because we have to, because we love you and we want to have fellowship with you and we want to pray for whatever it is you put on our hearts, Lord, and listen for you to speak to us, Lord, and tell us whatever is on your heart, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for giving us each the grace to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, glory to God. Thank you for your grace, Lord. And just like Wigglesworth said, I think the Lord is more eager to give it to us than we are to ask for it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. This is a question. Are we as a body of believers, do we try to talk people into making decisions for Christ? Is that no, yes, or okay, no? When did they start this garbage of making decisions for Christ rather than making disciples of Christ? Does anybody know when they started that? I think it was right after. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going to say I agree with you. When you say right after the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if you can get somebody to make a quick decision, you can get them off of thinking about what is convicting them. And you can give them a salve to release them from, well, let me put it this way. Guilt is a function of the spirit. It's not a function of our mind. And that's why people, when they're under conviction of sin, they're becoming aware of their sin and the guilt associated with it. and they're starting to feel guilty in their soul because their spirit is guilty before God. They just haven't become aware or haven't been aware of it. And until a person deals with that guilt, if the psychologists of, or psychiatrists of today know a lot of mental techniques and gymnastics, some of which the church has adopted, or say the system has adopted, in order to get people to make a decision, like you say, make a decision based upon logic.
Can I stop you just a moment to ask a question? What do you call that?
Call what?
What you just talked about, the psychologist coming in. That is sense knowledge. That is not spiritual knowledge, and you're correct in that.
It's soul.
They have brought the soul world. Knowledge. Yes. Yes.
I was... The Lord has got, has me in the last few weeks or a month or whatever, has brought me back to a set of scriptures. And I'd like to read those scriptures if I could, because what you're talking about, Michael, I believe that the devil has weaved this deception within our Christian psyche, shall we say, I just put it that way, since the beginning, right after the beginning, and started that deception rolling. And I believe that if we understand where the guilt is at, we can, shall we say, sharpen up our arrows and point to the target as opposed to pointing to the logical function here. Let me just read. I'm going to get off in a second here. I was reading this scripture today in 2 Corinthians 7:1. And I'm just going to read it real quick. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, Paul is saying, cleanse ourselves. He's talking to Christians here, obviously, talking to baptized, born again, spirit filled Christians. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh, or I believe the word is sarx or whatever. It means the carnal mentality. Flesh, which we all agree is flesh, carnality, flesh, and spirit, pneuma. So it's the Greek word for wind, breath, spirit. It differs from the soul, which is psuche, I believe, and I'm probably obliterating these Greek words, but it's a different word. And God doesn't make mistakes in his word. All of these things have to fit together, like David says. Excuse me. They have to fit together. And Paul is telling these Christians to cleanse themselves from a defilement in their spirit. Now, the first thing I do is I jump to Paul's teaching. I've been crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, that's true too. Well, how does that be true? And how does this be true as well? Almost appears contradictory in a sense. How can you cleanse if it's only Christ living in my spirit? What need is there of any cleansing? Christ is as cleansed as purity can be. So what's Paul talking about there? Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear. Am I running out of time, by the way? 9:30, because I could ramble. Sorry about that.
We'll stop you when you get to doing that.
Thank you. I asked the Lord about that and back in the 80s. Lord, what do you mean by this? The angel of the Lord encamps, and they give me this picture, encamps or surrounds round about them that fear him and deliver them. And I got this picture, and although I've never been in the military, I got this picture of a guard, a soldier standing guard. And this soldier standing guard, and somebody came up to get to that person. Excuse me. And he said, halt, who goes there? And this demon said, gave his name and said, anger or whatever. And this angel said, this is a child of God, blood bought by the blood of Christ. You have no right here. Leave. He encamps around them and he stops them. However, what if this angel, this demon came up to this angel? I'll just give an example. He was a demon of pornography. And he came up to there and the angel of the Lord put up his hand and said, stop, who goes there? I'm the angel of pornography. Stop, you cannot go. This child is a child of God, been blood bought and purchased by the blood of Christ. And then the demon raised his hand and said, pointed his bony finger, let's just say, over into that person's closet, and deep down in the bottom of the closet, there was a book of, say, pornography or something. He said, yes, but he allows it. Now, I know what the Lord told me about that example. I'll let you make the decision as to whether or not you believe that angel had to allow that demon to come in and effect an attack. This is the picture that the Lord gave me at that time. And it straightened me as far as, it helped me to understand the separation of soul and spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, or it's alive, it's powerful. It's, I'm not sure what, if that, I believe that word is dunamis or whatever, but it's power, force, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God wants us, I believe, to be able to discern the differences. Is this an activity or an action that is happening in the soul, mind, will, and emotions, and of the logical, psychological side of us, or is this something of a defilement in the spirit? What happens in the spirit if there's something happening in the soul, a battle in the soul? Where does power come from? Power comes from the spirit. And if the power is coming from the spirit, if that spirit, that level of the spirit, is tolerating or allowing or condoning that activity of the soul, then that activity of the soul, there's no power to resist that. The power is not there. Because power comes from the spirit and is transferred through the soul. This battle then, and I believe that power comes when it's a power of one, unity, one in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or complete. I pray God, your whole spirit, two spirits, your whole spirit, a unity. And soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean the spirit can be guilty? The spirit cannot be blameless? Is there something in there? Now, let me just say this. I'm saying this as not a thus saith the Lord. I'm still digging through and sorting this out myself, quite frankly. But he says, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. I think it's becoming clear to me that when Paul was saying, I have been crucified in Christ, he is saying, yes, I have been crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And I believe that just as John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease, that in this place of my submission to Christ, his word in my spirit, that in my spirit, I am totally submitted to his word, to the authority of his word and the authority of Jesus as my Lord, that I become one in unity with him. Now, I kind of got that through the back door, reading and studying and looking into head coverings, because that's not for my background. But if you read through head coverings and the role of the wife and the husband and whatnot. And the head covering is the way I understood it, is a physical and a wife's willful, volitional participation in acknowledging God's headship over God's covering that he created for them. And then it says, likewise, husbands, just like God provided a covering for the wives, he also provided a covering for the husbands in that they are covered by Christ. So the point being is that I believe God wants that activity, that willful submission to God, to be within our spirit. I'm getting buzzed here in my ear here. So
I need to restart the router. It's not working.
I'm online.
You're downstairs. I'll get online. Brandon won't get online.
All right. Give me just a second. Sorry, I got a technical glitch here, guys. But sorry, I hope I didn't ramble and whatever. But y'all, see ya. Gotta go.
No, it's good. Thank you, Pat. Have a great evening.
You too.
Give him wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Okay. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Missy.
Can you repeat your question that you asked earlier?
Yes, I can. I can do that. Where did the church start having people make decisions for Christ rather than discipling them to Christ? Do you understand the difference, Missy? Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, I'm really thinking about it. In other words, it's like, you made one of the things that you said too, though, was that about talking people into it. You know,
well, that's what I say. When did the church start talking people into making decisions rather than making disciples of Christ?
I think
when, same thing I just said.
Yeah, I think when they started, it's their own works when they left the Spirit and being led of the Spirit. You, it's your works. When the church really started getting away from the
Spirit of God.
Right. You know, not obeying the commandment, be filled with the Spirit.
Well, and they had no power, so they had to do something to get the people into the churches. And so they must start, well, if you make a decision, God's going to overlook everything else. Now you can go on up to heaven. Everything's going to be loved. You just put your money in the box and everything will be fine. Go ahead, Julie.
I guess I was thinking how Jesus warned, you know, take heed that no man lead you astray, because many will come in my name. And,
yeah.
You know, Paul wrote in his epistles more than once to the, you know, to the church, to, you know, Timothy and I can't remember where all, and Peter probably, I think Peter did too, but just that there would be brethren among you, wolves, you know, the wolves in sheep's clothing and that kind of thing, and adding to and taking away from the word and all that kind of stuff. if they're not obeying Christ, they're not obeying the commandment. And like you and Missy were just saying, it's like, if you don't have the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't get the calling from the Lord and aren't sent by the Lord, you're going to go because of what other reasons, idols and wanting to be, you know, wanting the glory of man and, you know, the following and, you know, all kinds of reasons that people are doing what they're doing. So I agree with what you're saying is, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, you know, and we're a bunch of, you know, sheep. Sheep are pretty ignorant about a lot of things. We need a shepherd, and there's many false shepherds out there too that will just, okay, this sounds good. It's easy. I can do this. Just, you know, make a decision for Christ. Just accept Jesus as your personal savior and come in and, you know, keep coming to church and keep doing this and keep doing that and all the Nicolaitan and error, you know, all the things that are out there. That's what we see now, but obviously it happened then. You know, the seven sons of Sceva, right? You know,
what happened to them?
They weren't following. They just saw this, you know, it's like, well, we're just going to do what we see this man doing, you know, in the name of, you know, the Jesus that Paul preaches. You know, they started trying to act like they were somebody, that they could do these things. And, you know, yeah, they got into trouble. They didn't have the anointing, and the demons did not know them, and they just took full advantage of them. Right. Anyway.
Yeah. Stripped them and sent them on their way, didn't he?
Embarrassed them.
And that's because why? They didn't have the Holy Spirit with the power and the discernment and the knowledge to do that. The least, a brand new Christian filled with the Holy Ghost has more power than a 40-year veteran of a church with no power. You remember the story David told about the guy that got thrown through the glass door? He was telling, get this demon off of me, get this. And some brand new Christian went up there and commanded that thing off of him because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Brand new Christian, glory to God. That's making a disciple. Yeah, Judy.
I was just reading in Matthew 16. Last night I was just reading about this, how, you know, and Jesus was sitting with his disciples and he asked them, who do they say the Son of Man is? And they, you know, they're saying, oh, some say you're John the Baptist, you know, John the Baptist, another prophet, Jeremiah, you know, something, you know, along those, you know, a prophet or something. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And, you know, Simon was the one that said, it's like, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Jesus told him, it's like, you know, that he, you know, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, you know, flesh and blood did not make this known unto you, but my Father. And that's the relationship that, you know, by the grace of God, we have that. He's made it known unto us. And he said, to you, I've given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. And whatever you loose on earth is loose in the heavens. And he went on to say about the rock and building his church and all that. But that's where it comes from, is from the Father. The Father revealing himself to us and make known unto us, you know, whom he chooses, his elect, you know, who he is and who you are, who we are. You know, and what he's given us. You know, it's not just everyone can have it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? They had to make an excuse for why they didn't have the power of God. So they just took out all the power of God out of the Word of God, just skipped over it, went on, did their little program. That is why God is fixing to shake this world. He's going to shake his people out of those decision-making preachers. out of those churches. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, the verse comes to me. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power. And these also turn away. So that's just the verse. You know, you have to believe that God wants to create you a new person. Your inward man is decaying. Your outward man is decaying. And your inward man is renewing day by day. That speaks of creation, you know, God's creative word, you know. I think God's being really gracious with us and being really merciful with us. Because when he creates something, he says it the first time it's supposed to happen. And I was just meditating on this today. And, you know, when I saw the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love creates. And that's John 3:16, you know. And we must have compassion, you know, on people to step in this salvation mode to save people, be used to create people for God. Someone did it with you when you came to the Lord. And God wants his love to spread. And all nine of the fruits of the Holy Spirit create. Peace creates, you know. I used to be busy with trying to define some of these words, not really using the dictionary, but using the Bible, you know, the two are made one, thus making peace. So peace does create. And you're putting on these sandals of peace. So God's in a method of creation here. There's so much we have to just really surrender and trust in him and be at rest for his just our David Eales said once, our work is to rest and just have the Lord take care of us. And sometimes I think we overthink things too much a lot. And glory to God and praise God for all things. And rejoice in any testings or tribulations or persecutions from other men. Don't judge them. They need salvation. Everyone needs to be saved from the myriad of demon spirits that are out there that are of the flesh. And they need to have their outward man decaying too, so that their inner man could be created. Love creates. You can just read any verse about love and you'll see it.
Amen. Good night, Claire. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother. Thank you, Andrew.
If I could add my two cents, I would say is what starting with in the book of Acts, when the world seeing Jesus, but people following Jesus, they see a Christian, and but Jesus taught them to be make disciples. But nowadays it's everybody calling them Christians, but don't call them disciples anymore. That was a big change for following Christ. That's all I meant. Thank you.
Amen, Joe. That's right on. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
You know, on the line of what Joe is saying, another thing that came to me about that is they call them Christians, but not believers. You can be called a Christian, but are you a believer? Do you believe? Do you believe God's word? Not just believe it. Do you do it? You know, you're just a hearer, not a doer, you know? So Because if you're a believer, then if you're a true believer, then you're gonna see you need to be baptized and filled with the Spirit, you know. As you know, just that's just the beginning, you know, of you know, learning to be a disciple, a learner and follower of the Lord. And it's like, you know, that back to the talking, you know, feeling like you got to talk to somebody into making a decision. Well, that's all part of okay. You got your ticket punched. You stepped over the line and you shook the preacher's hand, you know, kind of thing. And once saved, always saved. And okay, I'm going to heaven. And then you live the rest of your life the way you please. You know. But if you don't make disciples, learners and followers of the Lord, that's what you're going to get is somebody that thinks they can't lose their salvation. They're not encouraged to read the word and, you know.
That's not a disciple, that's a decision maker.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Lord, we thank you that you're raising up a great supernatural group of people that love you and want to do what you want us to do, and that's to make disciples, just like you told the apostles years ago, many, many eons ago. And Lord, you taught them how to make disciples, and somewhere along the way, the church veered away from it like they always do. But Lord, we know that you are now raising up a supernatural bride and man-child ministry that will go out and show the world what it is to be a true Christian. And that is a disciple of Christ. And we're going to make disciples out of people. And we praise you, Father, for giving us wisdom and the words to say to bring that to pass. In Jesus' name. Everybody here, Lord, we thank you for placing in our heart to learn how to make a disciple rather than a decision for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I remember not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I was talking to a guy out there in the garden thing. He pulled up the truck and asked me a question. And I said, yeah, I said, and then he started telling me everything that was wrong with it. This is an over guy. I said, are you a believer? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a believer. I said, well, here, do you believe what the word of God says? He said, yeah, I believe from Genesis to Revelation. I said, okay, here's what the word of God says about what you've got wrong with you. He says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, you were healed. I said, that's past tense. You were healed 2,000 years ago. And he said in Mark 11:23-24, that if you pray, and if you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. I said, you want me to pray for you to be healed, that God will heal you? No, really, I've got to go pick up my wife. And off he went. That was the mindset that these apostate preachers have put in the people of that God wants to come to him. That's the mindset. It's a religious spirit that they have turned loose on all these people. That's why, and I've said this, y'all heard this, and y'all have probably said the same thing. That is the exact reason why God is going to shake them loose from their apostate religion. You have to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in your life 30, 60, or 100-fold before you can get into heaven. They don't even preach that. They don't even teach that. They don't even know that. But they will. Praise God. Because God's going to bring up, and already is bringing up a bunch of people that love him. Praise God forevermore. And we thank you for it, Father. Lord, we thank you for all the great word that was spoken tonight. We prayed this and we know it happened. And we thank you for it, Father, that everybody that contributed tonight did a great, wonderful job. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. The next time we come together, you're going to be leading us that night as well. In Jesus' name. Amen, y'all. God bless you. So, gotta go.